Paul Good and Serhii Kudylia, welcome to the show and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, we're back here to talk about the situation in Ukraine. Obviously, this is something that we've been following now since November. It seems to be an evolving situation. And I was wondering, Serhii, how are we to think about what happened in February in Ukraine, this overthrow of Yanukovych, removal from office? Is this something that we might classify, and certainly the media has classified, as a revolution? Doesn't quite sound like what an academic would call a revolution, or the Eastern media has called this a coup. Or was this a constitutional protest that removed an authoritarian leader? How should we be thinking about this?
Well, I think we should start, first of all, discussing the origins of that movement, because it started basically as a protest against a certain policy. It was very policy-oriented. It was just a bunch of people who expected Yanukovych and the Ukrainian government to sign an association agreement with the European Union and to move forward with the European integration, something that the president has promised for a long time, for his entire presidency. And this initial impetus, which was a policy-oriented impetus, basically transformed into a more revolutionary movement. And as a result, we saw the toppling of the president and the coming in of the opposition, which some may correctly characterize it as a revolution, primarily because it involved a large number of people on the streets. The coup usually is done by the people on the inside. It involves a smaller group of people who are overthrowing a particular person through a palace coup or palace intrigue. Here we really had – it was a genuinely grassroots movement that included not just the opposition leaders or members of political parties, but really broader social segments of the society.
And there's been a lot of comparison of this, obviously, to the Orange Revolution.
Yes.
But you've written that these are quite different, that these protests actually looked more like historical protests from the past. Is that correct?
Well, my point was that, in a way, the difference between Ukraine and Russia was that Yanukovych tried to build a very centralized authoritarian system that would be similar to Putin's system. And he did not take into account the diversity of Ukraine, both regionally and the strength of the civil society that he had to face, something that Russia did not have when Putin was building up his political system.
So here I'd like to ask, the composition of the protesters has been a really a crucial aspect of the arguments over whether or not the new government in Kyiv is legitimate. And particularly, the Russian narrative has really emphasized the role of what it calls Benderites, ultra-nationalists, fascists. To what extent were those elements really present and what kind of role did they play? And should the West really be paying attention to that as Kyiv moves towards trying to secure a legitimate new government?
Right. Well, definitely the presence of nationalists was more prominent and visible during the last wave of protests compared to the Orange Revolution. There was a clear usage of the historical figures that were associated with the nationalist movement in the 1930s and 1940s against the Soviets, against the Soviet Union. And one can say that the strength of the commitment of the nationalist groups within that movement helped to sustain it over a longer period of time. Most of the people who were camped out on the streets, many of them, I shouldn't say most, but many of them were hardcore nationalists. But I would not say or agree with the Russian characterization of the movement as dominated by the nationalists. Again, as I said, it had a wide variety of groups that were involved in it. They organized self-defense units, which were the sort of paramilitary groups that were primarily initially created to defend themselves from the attacks from the riot police. And there were some nationalist paramilitary groups, but many of them were groups that represented different segments of the society. And I have some polls that show that basically the anti-Russian feelings, anti-Russian sentiments of nationalists was shared by no more than 20% of the entire protest movement. It was primarily movement against repressive actions of the authorities, against what some people saw excessive use of force, but not necessarily against Russia. On your second question, whether they should be concerned, yes, absolutely. And I think one of the mistakes of the new authorities was to include so many representatives of the nationalist far-right parties, Svoboda, in the new government, particularly giving them positions like the prosecutor general or the defense minister, something that will generate some fears on the part of the ethnic Russians, both in Crimea and in other parts of Ukraine. So I thought this was a mistake, and I I think if the West has the possibility to communicate certain policy advice to the new government, it should communicate that idea that if you were to include nationalists, you should give them positions like the agriculture minister maybe, or something that has to do with roads, but not something that has to do with the use of force.
So a wide variety of people and opinions in the opposition, and they coalesced around Yanukovych and his hopeful and eventual removal. What comes next? How to keep the forward momentum going? What can Ukraine do?
Well, first of all, of course, they were already faced with very difficult legacies from the previous regime. One of them is the economic legacy, the fact that the country is essentially bankrupt. Many of the money that has been given to Ukraine over the years or loaned to Ukraine were embezzled, stolen. And we need substantial funds to pay off the debts that we already accumulated, in addition to fulfilling of the basic functions of the state. The second challenge has to do with the external threat coming from Russia and the possibility of continued destabilization that will diffuse from Crimea to other parts of Ukraine. In addition to that, there are just basic questions of enhancing the state capacity and rebuilding the institutions of the state, because the basic institutions like the court system, for example, the law enforcement, they have been destroyed by the previous regime because they have been excessively politicized, they have been misused and abused by the current authorities, and the public in general does not have trust in these institutions. So these are huge challenges that the new governments face, and the problem is that not only they don't have resources to address these problems, both intellectual resources and financial, but also they don't have enough legitimacy. We see that the key issue that President Putin has been stressing, the poor legitimacy of the current authorities, essentially in some respects he is right, because the acting president, who replaced Yanukovych, has been put in his place through very dubious formal procedures. It's only the government and the prime minister who are, I would say, more or less legitimate. And that's one of the reasons why President Obama agreed to meet with the Ukrainian prime minister in Washington. And these are the sort of the three most important challenges that they have to deal with. And I don't think that without substantial Western backing, both from the European Union and the United States, I don't think they will be able to address these challenges adequately.
You know, one of the legacies of the previous regime might be considered even the current operating parliament, insofar as it was elected under the previous system prior to the constitutional changes that were adopted following Yanukovych being ejected from power. Why do you think that it is that there hasn't been more of a push for new parliamentary elections as well as new presidential elections?
Excellent question. I personally favor both early presidential and parliamentary elections. I think the vested interests of members of parliament, who realize that many of them may not be reelected if there is a new parliamentary election, that's something that prevents them from moving forward. It's all both the opposition. Some of the opposition parties realize that they may lose a substantial number of support because there are new political actors that emerged during this protest, both youth groups and some more nationalistic parties than the existing far-right parties. So there is a lot of competition for the former opposition. And the Party of Regions, the ruling party, obviously lost a lot of support as a result of this protest. So all of the key political actors who can decide on staging new parliamentary elections are actually not interested in them.
Well, thinking about, again, moving forward, I think one of the criticisms perhaps of the United States and the Western world is that we have tried to advance democracy very much in our own image and what that democracy is going to look like. So I'm just curious, can and should Ukraine end up in a situation that looks very Western, or is Ukrainian democracy going to be something unique, and what might that look like?
I'm always wary about the characterizations of democracy as unique, because once you say we have our own unique version of democracy, that always reminds me of a more of an Orwellian take on democracy than anything else. I hope we would just follow the standard path. Obviously, we would need to design our institutions more in correspondence with the ethnic composition of the state itself. That's something that has been ignored, I think, by by the previous designers, the fact that given how polarized the country is, concentrating too many powers in the presidency is a wrong idea because it creates a very tough political competition, very intense political competition, then leads to half of the country feeling cheated. And so I think that the more parliamentary system would be better for Ukraine and a different kind of election system as well, not majoritarian, but a more proportional representation system. But in general, I think the European path for Ukraine, in line with Poland, in line with other Eastern European countries, is something that we can hope to achieve realistically, not necessarily in the near future, but maybe in the next 10 years.
Some have suggested that in Ukraine, what is needed right now is not so much reconstitution of central state authority as it is a decentralization of power, if not possibly federalization of Ukraine. Many people in Ukraine are steadfastly opposed to this, especially under the current circumstances. What's your take on this? Would Ukraine benefit from federalization, or is it actually potentially a threat to Ukrainian statehood?
Well, I personally favor federalization. Of course, if you many people define federalization differently. I think one of the mistakes of the new authorities was the rejection of any attempt to try to negotiate a new deal, a new relationship with Crimea. Once they came in, they should have made it clear that they were willing to give them greater autonomy, control over their budgetary resources, a greater influence for their parliament, which has so far been a rubber stamp institution for Kyiv, really did not have much powers, and an opportunity to elect their own leader in the form of prime minister. I think in general, federalization, if we mean giving greater control over financial resources and self-rule for the localities in Ukraine, is a good idea. Of course, it presents a lot of risks if on the national level you continue to impose a certain set of preferences that would diverge from the preferences of certain parts of the country. So in other words, if you on the national level pursue a very nationalistic policy without taking into account the mainstream, the middle voter, if you want, of the country, then, of course, that will alienate substantial parts of the population. And under the federal structure, this will create pressure or incentives for other regions to secede. So, in other words, federalization requires a consensus on the national level about what these common policies should be for the future. But in general, yes, I agree. It's a good idea for Ukraine.
Well, certainly much to consider. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me.
Thank you very
much. Thank you.